talk about raising hands and just acknowledging things. As you know, oftentimes here at Hope Chapel, we'll have people respond to Christ, either raise their hand to accept him or stand to receive him, or sometimes we'll have them come forward. But because we want to make a difference this year, it's very important that we just acknowledge how we might have influenced our society rather recently. So just be prepared. There's going to be times I'll say, well, how many just gave to charity this week? How many just maybe gave some good help to somebody? But I want to ask, how many led somebody to Christ rather recently? If you did, would you just stand to your feet? Just stand if you led somebody to Christ rather recently. Look at that. We want to make sure we acknowledge that, and we want to make sure that's important. Thank you, everyone. Make sure we tab that, because that's the ministry of Hope Chapel. We want to make a difference, and you expressing who and what Christ is to your life influences others and makes a difference, and I'm very, very grateful for that. So good morning, everyone. I have my Bible in hand. You know that we are starting life groups this week. Matter of fact, the only one that's not really starting up is usually on Sundays, the McCurdys. That'll start next Sunday, but they meet here, the McCurdys, on Sunday at 12:30, but all the rest do, and we're hoping that you will check it out, sign up for a life group, because life really does happen in community. So take your bulletin out, find that bulletin, find a writing instrument, because we're getting back into writing out our notes, expressing what we feel God is showing us in a message, as you would when you typically do your journaling or your soaping or things that you just say, wow, that's so good. I know I might forget it. Let me jot it down. Let me address that. And so we are in making a difference, right? That's our theme, as we just highlight what that's all about. We are taking that theme title and developing now a series. This is our second Sunday in that series. So if this is your first time to gather with us, or maybe you on live stream, thank you. We are studying the life of Abraham. He's at this point, his early stage, called Abram. And so we are looking and learning how he made such an influence in his society, even so many still addressing as the father of faith. So we're looking at some things, and today it's interesting because we're going to see where he makes a mistake, where he fails a test of his own faith. The father of faith failing in his exam. I take much encouragement when I read from Genesis chapter 12, where we left off. So go ahead and find chapter 12. You'll want to spot it in your Bible. You want to make notes about that, because I'm trusting God will speak to you, because we're wanting to do just that. Lord, use us. As you said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, Abe, and in you, I'm going to bless others. So Father, thank you for opening up your word to us. We really do want to receive from you. We know anything that you have for us really brings life and health and direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's message, as you see on the back of your bulletin, not only is it making a difference, but the subtitle, warning, doubts happen. Doubts happen. And when we were last with this section of scripture, we saw that God called Abraham, out of his family, out of his home life, go to a land I'm going to give you, a land of promise. So he obeys. And in obeying, we saw too, he heard from the Lord, he obeyed. And then our third point was, blessings come when we obey the Lord. Now he's in the land of promise, and he's going to have doubts. And that's why we title this warning, capital letters. Now, it's interesting to note, everything's listed with warnings nowadays. Have you noticed anything you buy? It really started back in 1994 when McDonald's Corporation was sued. When a person had a hot cup of coffee, spilled it on their lap, and sued the corporation. So they had to put a warning, and in big letters, hot. That's important to know, wouldn't you think? So I said, well, what else comes with warnings? And so there's a website, the 101 Dumb Warnings. Here's a couple of them to start us off. Here's one. Comes with hair color. It says, do not use as an ice cream topping. You never know. Somebody might like the taste of that stuff. Yeah. Car sunshades. You know, it sits in your front dashboard. Warning, remove shade before operating vehicle. Just in case you forget. I guess you're going to guess where you're going. Blow dryer came with this warning. Warning, do not use while sleeping. I guess people may like their sleeping bags aired out. I don't know. The other one, the Rowenta iron came with this warning. Warning, never iron clothes while on the body. Isn't that good? Yeah. Talk about a tattoo. There you go. And we're going to see here the warning that doubts happen, and it happened to Abram. It happened to him right out the gate. He's fresh in his faith. He's just now starting off on his journey, just like many of us when we started off with our faith with Jesus. He's just starting to get his sea legs. He's starting to experience that walk of faith. Because see, the just shall live by faith. And he comes in there jumping and quickly responding, I believe God. It's like a young child, isn't that true? Love that with mom and dad. A young child will be quick to believe, to trust the parent, but they're also quick to be afraid. I remember when my father was telling me, Paul, jump off that diving board. Never did. Never before jumped off a dive. I was pretty frightened. But my dad said, I will catch you. He's in the water of my aunt and uncle's house in Van Nuys, California. I remember it vividly. Jump, Paul. No, Dad, jump. I'll catch you. Okay. I jumped. That was the good news. The bad news was I was 30 years of age when it happened. I just, you grow into these things. Just kidding. Just kidding. But we're going to learn a valuable lesson here. And the real topic is this. It's much safer to trust God. Amen. Even when you go through some problems, right. Some trials, some troubles. And we're seeing it happening here. Let's take a look. Verse 10, I'm in Genesis 12, verse 10, where we left off. And verse 9 starts, and Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say, you are my sister. It may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. So it was, when Abram came into Egypt, that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, ox, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him that they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Let's take a look here because there's three areas in this area of his doubts. Number one, the failed examination. The failed examination. It's interesting because we see here in verse 10, now there was a famine in the land. Now, what's worth noting is that that's a very severe thing, a famine at that time. Hey, if drought hits California, some kind of a famine hits California, we can still go to the restaurant or maybe even go to the grocery store, but not so. Here you have this family. They migrated from Ur of Chaldees right there in that fertile Delhi, that area delta that was right there between the Tigris and the Euphrates. Big rivers there, huge, this floral and fauna, food, every bit of the seasons, anything they wanted. Not so in Israel. If you've been there, but they are dependent upon the rains. There's a few streams there, but it is necessary for rains to come, and a famine hits that land. In so doing, Abram starts to get very concerned. You can see here, he eyeballs Egypt. Now, Egypt has a large river. It's that fertile area as well. He's probably thinking, I don't know, but he's thinking, well, that property down there looks very much like home was. Let's go to Egypt. Now, what's interesting here, because he's being tested, it's interesting because Egypt really does describe for so many that area of returning back to the world. He's looking for the world for solutions. It feels more like home. I'm familiar with this. Why a famine? God just brought him into this promised land. Why all of a sudden? Well, it is faith 101. You must understand, if you and I are wanting to make a difference this year, and I'm sure you're going to say, man, I'm ready to do it this time. I'm ready to really step it up a little bit and apply myself and help people or read and engage God more in prayer, that your faith will be tested. That's why it is not uncommon. It's a natural thing for your faith to be tested. Your faith must have pressure applied for faith to actually be worth anything. It's like we heard about exercise. If your muscles are going to increase in strength and stamina, it's got to have some pressure. It's got to have some strain applied. Your muscles won't grow. They won't benefit. So when you decide to say, I'm going to go with God, I believe that he's addressing things in my life, get ready. Warning, doubts happen. Did I really hear from the Lord? Here he is in the land of promise. Famine hits. I don't know if I'm going to be here anymore. I'm going to a place that will find solutions for me. So today, some of us really are enjoying just kind of like the fat of the land here in our beautiful Orange County, isn't it? It's great. But there are some of us, we're not in that area. It's a different environment. It's a different scenario. Some are really struggling. What's happening? Am I really going to continue to trust the Lord, or do I look for the world for solutions? Those things do happen. It's interesting about golf balls. When they first started making golf balls, they went at it and said, let's make golf balls as smooth as we can make it. And they realized they didn't travel very far when struck. So they kind of beat them up a little bit and add some dings to that, and the ball started carrying. Now they realize they're going to manufacture them with pressure points or dimples for a better way, that the balls travel farther. Your faith, if you're going to travel farther, your faith is going to be anything, guess what? Sometimes doubts happen because your faith is going to come under some challenge. Some problems. So when we take a look, letter A, he left the land of promise. He left it. There's no indication that he asked God. And there's no indication that God told him to go down there. That's important to know. There's nothing that's happening. He's making this decision and he's failing this examination. I'm in where God told me to go, but stuff's pressuring me. And I've got to find a way out. I need something that is predictable, that's consistent, that I know. And he goes back to that environment that's familiar, a fertile grounds of Egypt. Now, there are times that God has told people in the scriptures to go to Egypt. Remember Jacob? There was another famine. Take your whole family, go on down to Egypt. You'll become a great nation there. And out of that, then we had the Exodus account. There's also Mary and Joseph. God told them, take the child and marry Joseph and flee to Egypt because Herod seeks to destroy the child. But it's very rare when that happens. Matter of fact, Isaiah 31:1, you may want to write it down. I know you'll share it with your life group. God says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord. So we're taking a look at this. It's very important once again. Soon as he gets to Canaan, pressure comes, he leaves Canaan. Where's that blessing? Where is that coming from? Abraham journeys from being a man of faith to flowing in doubts, and it's important to recognize. As we enter into our Christian faith early on, really is that bubble of, it seems like, as I survey people that are new in Jesus, it seems to be the six-month period of a joy bubble, of complete pleasure. People are saying, why didn't I do this sooner? And then all of a sudden, pressure comes. Trial comes. People are saying, I don't know if I can trust the Lord anymore. That should have that warning sign. Hey, doubts will happen. But they say, I'm going to go back to seeking worldly help, worldly advice. This is Abraham. This is what he's doing. This is the land of promise, people will say, when they receive Christ, only to have challenges happen. So when trouble comes, when hardship comes, when famine hits the land, people will say, I'm going to go and start looking for the world to help me. So you see, that's what Abram's doing. Be careful. Those things happen. Letter B, he lied about his wife. So he came up with this design, this idea, let's go down to Egypt. And somewhere in that area, when you take a look at that, therefore it happened, verse 12, when the Egyptians see you, he says. Now look at verse 11, when it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, and he starts to butter her up, indeed. I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Hey, you're pretty. She's 65 years of age. Must have been a complete knockout at that age, too. And the conditions were, historians say, that when pharaohs at that time saw a beautiful woman and knew that that woman was married, they didn't want to commit adultery, so they killed the husband. So that's what he's dealing with. But his solution was, I'm going to lie. Now, we're going to find in chapter 20 that this is actually his half-sister. They come from separate mothers. So it's somewhat of a half-truth. How about that? But it's also a half-lie. It's meant to deceive. It's meant to deceive. So in doing that, he says, this is my strategy. Here, come, honey, come here. We will lie. So he's making his way in his direction, and in that process, we start to see that the scheme starts to take place. But there's no mention of God in this text, no reason. He leaves where God wants to give him the promised land. He actually left that promised land where he sets up an altar, and he's praying. So we see that, verse 7, remember that? Same chapter where he left off. The Lord appeared to him. He sets up an altar. There is no conversation with him and God during this whole segment, not one listed, until we look at chapter 13. Just look at chapter 13 when he gets kicked out of Egypt. He goes back to setting up an altar and talking to God. Look for a moment, verse 1 of 13. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock and in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been. He's returning where he engaged God. At that beginning, between Bethel and Ai, so the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now that's important to note. In between, no conversations going on, have no form of worship happening, nothing being declared. And that's important for us because we're taking a look at warning, doubts happen, and when they do, where is that person at? So he lies about his wife. Let's take a look at number two, false confirmations. That's important. Because when you make your own scheme, things do go well. But is it worth it? Let's take a look here. Because letter A, he experienced non-resistance. And letter B on our notes, he experienced material flavor. Favor. How about it? Let's take a look here. In verse 15 and 16, the princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. And we have this list of stuff. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. So you look here, all of a sudden he's experienced non-resistance. He's getting along with everybody. It's a good thing for him. So Abram gets this scheme going and he notices, hey, man, this is easy flowing here. That happens. Hey, my plan is working. It's really pretty good. Nobody's out to get me. My skin's still on me. I'm alive. All of a sudden, this might even be tempted to think, I think this is a sign from God. This must be from God. No problems here. That can happen. It does happen to those that are in the midst of just coming up with their own scheme. It's as if all of a sudden, the enemy is starting to bless him. Things are happening here. And when we deal with this, because there's a thought that says, well, when I'm in the center of God's will, you know, isn't there supposed to be a perfect peace and tranquility and just abundance? Well, hey, our faith gets tested. There can be that element that happens. So when we come across people every now and then, they'll even say certain things. I've had people say, well, if God didn't want me to divorce my wife, Pastor, he'd stop me. He didn't stop me, so I'm going for it. If God wanted me to not have this extramarital affair, he'd stop me. So since he didn't, I'm going for it. So the outward sign of what looks like at ease and tranquility, no pushback and blessings, it must be a sign. I'm just going to go for that. And we have to be careful. F.B. Meyer wrote this. He said, the world may treat us well, but that will be a poor compensation for our losses as Christians. So sometimes you start to deal with darkness, and they'll take you on in. So we're talking about making a difference in our world, but got to be aware, doubts come. And we don't make much of a difference when that happens. So we see here, start dealing with that. Number three, the fierce repercussions. Did he get away with that? No, he didn't. This is important to take a look because letter A, he afflicted others. Check out verse 17. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and not just Pharaoh, his house with great plagues because of Sarai. This scheme of Abraham starts to affect other people. I've had that happen. I thought, man, I got a good plan. I don't want to make bad decisions. I know if I were to make poor decisions, this church would be affected. My kids would say, Mom, where's Dad? What happened to Dad? Why did he make those decisions? We're all affected by poor plans and scheming. So, did Abraham get away with it? No. Proverbs 16:33 of Proverbs says, the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Donald Gray Barnhouse put it this way, man throws the dice, but it's God who makes the spots come up. There's an old axiom that really says, every action brings an equal and opposite reaction. So other people are going to be affected by this man's sin. I will say runaway Christians are a menace to other people. They really do harm. They can bring some real problems. Disobedient, doubting Christians are a menace to other people. Abraham is intended, God says, you're going to bless everybody. He actually brings the judgment on Pharaoh and his household. So you can see here, he affects. He's afflicting other people because of his scheme to say, I'm going to make my break and go with what I think I need to do to help my family. So when we look here, there are others that have brought really judgment on others because of doubt, because of unbelief, because of saying, well, I'm just going to make my break. I don't even need to ask God. Here's three examples. You can take a look at them, write them down, share with your life group. But Achan's one in Joshua chapter 7, verse 20. He just stole some money and some garments, and out of that, the nation of Israel was defeated in battle. One man's poor decision, and people lost their lives. Another one, King David, 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 10. He wanted to number his whole empire, which God said, don't do it. Kind of showed a sign of pride. I want to see how much gold I got, kind of a thing. And 70,000 people perished in a plague. Also, you have Jonah. Remember him? Jonah chapter 1, verse 12. He's running from the will and direction of God, and he puts all the men in the ship and the properties in peril because he is not doing what is right. How about letter B? He was admonished by others. Now, it's interesting to note he's admonished by unbelievers. He's rebuked by the Pharaoh, a pagan god. So we see here, if you take a look in verse 18, and Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Sometimes unbelievers know how to pragmatically just handle themselves, sometimes more than Christians. Christians may not conduct themselves. They actually might poorly represent it. We want to really make a difference. We have to make the right choices. Here we have an admonishment, not by another Christian, by an unbeliever. So, in his attempt to go to Egypt, to take the pressure off him, to get food, etc., man, was it worth it? So he caused others to be hurt. He was rebuked by an unbeliever. And finally, let her see, his reputation was soiled. Can you imagine? We can see, what would the conversation have been like in Pharaoh's home once they said, get out? Look at verse 19. Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here's your wife. Take her and go your way. Probably said, what? What kind of a guy is that that represents this God of Israel, that he would do such a thing like this? So as we take a look, it's important. There are times that I'll sit down with believers and say, listen, I know you're a Christian, but let's pull your life together before we really kind of gloat and bloat on that. Your reputation's not what it should be. Let's see what we can do. People are watching. People are wanting to know, what does a Christian do in the midst of pressure and challenge? So I want to pray for us right now. Let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. So grateful how you're helping us in so many unique ways. That, Lord, you would enable us once again, oh Lord, recognizing that doubts do happen. And not to be surprised when those areas of pressure, those areas of trouble come. That, Lord, we want to trust you, the only one who's proven trustworthy and true. And that, Lord, we're asking too, Lord, when you place us in that proper area, our own land of fulfillment and promise, not to run, but to be right there and see you win it right where we live, not to make our own break, not to try to run to make it easier for us, but to call upon you, Lord. And that, Lord, finally, we ask, not to take sometimes trouble away, but Lord, what is it we are to learn in all of this? Lord, you do speak. You're mindful of the details of our lives. We want to thank you for this account today. We've learned some things. We know that Abram has learned some things. We know he's going to do it again another time in the Bible. So will his son Isaac. Lord, we hope we don't do something like this. Make our own break, and then lie to find a better solution for ourselves. Lord, be glorified, we pray. be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name. I'm going to invite you to close your Bibles. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing this song, and upon our conclusion, we want to just celebrate that we do have life groups happening starting tomorrow, and that we want to just welcome that whole beautiful environment of life groups and pray for those life groups in a moment. Then I want to pray you off that blessing as well. But let's enter into God and just affirm what He may have showed all of us, but especially for those that said, man, I needed to hear what the Word of God had to say to me today. An appropriate song. The Lord just loves us. It is not according to our performance. He's already performed way over the top for all of us. It's an amazing thing to me and something that keeps me coming back to Jesus Christ. He does not change. He does not change. I change my attitude, my environment, my culture, but God doesn't change in His love for you and His love for me. Is really what we just got to describe and encourage, because you are highly loved by the Lord. So doubts happen. He knows you're going to be going through things. Don't despair. He's a great teacher. He's going to make sure you pass it one day. So if you feel like, man, I've been gumming up the works, do not worry about it. You'll get another chance. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. So just to help ourselves along, let's journey into community. And our life group leaders, would you come forward? We have a few of them that are still here. I'm going to ask Roger and Karen to come and anybody else. I think most of them were here for our first service. And I want to just highlight and pray a blessing over our life group. It is a 12-week session. We encourage you to find that life group board with pictures or their locations, as well as the day of the week. We want to also highlight that if you can, make sure, just trust the Lord for an extra week's service. Get in there and take what the Lord's showing you and make a difference in that environment. Talk to others and say, man, this is what I'm going through. May not look pretty, but God's doing some great things. It brings help and life to that community. So with that, let me just pray for our life group leaders, and then I want to invite you to check out the Black Cage. Doesn't that sound good? Remember, cage it out, and then sign up for a life group. And then I'm going to pray you off that blessing as well. Father, we just love you today. And Lord, even as we celebrate tonight with our annual church display of the victories of this last year, 2018, Lord, we sure love you. You brought us through a great year. Some are still waiting on the miraculous outcome. But Lord, we're all in it together. And we thank you, Lord, that as a community, that we flourish better together than separate. And Lord, we want to pray that you would continue to put it on all of our hearts. Get plugged in. Be accountable. Let others be a part of your life. Lord, move us by your Spirit. And may each one of our life group leaders, for Roger and Karen Prelznick, for Don and Hanya Galitzin, for Arturo and Jessica Aguilar, for Poi and Lita Smith, for Ben and Debbie Cowart, Lord, for Bob and Melanie Pickens, Lord, for we thank you as well for Tommy and Lisa McCurdy. Lord, we're so grateful for each and every one of them that you would continue to allow these life groups to be well-populated, safe environment, and where disciples, quality disciples, are raised up quickly, we pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just add one last thing. Bless these dear ones. Thank you for the time we've enjoyed together. It's been good to be here at Hope Chapel. Lord, you've honored us by your presence. You are here. The God of this Bible, the one that was engaged in all of the events.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus,
God bless you,
we'd like to
Thanks
know.
For coming.
Email us at office@hopechapelhb.hopechapelhuntingtonbeach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.